If you do not know Christ as your Savior, the Bible tells us that you're living in darkness. And sometimes folks get accustomed to the dark. Their eyes grow accustomed to the dark. They don't even realize that they're living in darkness. So we're in the middle of 1 John. I say we're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of the first chapter of 1 John. So take your Bibles and find 1 John. Now it is not the Gospel of John. It is the Epistle of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. If you go to the back of your New Testament, you'll come to the book of Revelation right in the back. If you'll just start turning the opposite direction, you'll come to Jude, and then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And so we're in 1st John and the first chapter. And I know we've read these verses before, but we're going to deal with a different element of the verses than what we dealt with last Sunday. So let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. In studying Scripture, there are these elements that you need to be aware of. First of all, what did it mean to the folks that it was written to in the first place? The first people that read this scripture, what did it mean to them? And what does it mean to the society in which you and I live, that you and I are in? We didn't choose to be born in this time in history, but we're at an exciting time, whether we realize it or not. We're in the end days. We're waiting for the rapture, for the church to be taken out. We're right on the verge of the end times, the great tribulation. I believe the rapture of the church takes place prior to that. Some folks believe that it takes place in the middle of that. Some folks at the end of that. So one man said he was a pan-millennialist. When asked what did they mean, he said, "I think it'll all pan out." I believe we'll be taken prior. Amen. To the great tribulation. I'm a premillennialist, so before the great tribulation. But I think that we are right on the verge of that. I've hardly watched any news in the last year. We've been involved in something else. But I believe that this scripture has to do with our society. So, what does it mean to us in the society in which we live? And then, what does it mean to you and I personally? What does the Lord want to say to us through this word personally? This is His letter to us, you know. Amen. He's writing to us. Yes. Did you know that this has absolutely nothing but the truth in it? There is no error in this word. Amen. Did you know that this will last through eternity? Yes. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, God says, will not pass away. Amen. So there's not anything any more important than this word. There's not anything that we could do in church, in Sunday school, anything in our lives that's more important than the study of this word. Amen. Anyway, I could get on a stump on that. What does it mean to us? Look at verse 5. of chapter 1. This then is the message which we have heard of him. Who's him?
Jesus.
That's right. It's Jesus. This is a message that we have heard of Jesus, of him, and declare unto you that God is light. Now I want you to pay close attention right here. That God is light. Now, look at what he says. And in him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
There's no shadows here. There's no gray areas here. Folks, the church doesn't need to act like the world or look like the world or dress like the world or talk like the world. In him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're lying and do not the truth. I want to tell you something. I'd like for you to stand while I preach. I'm going to let you sit down here in a little while. But you and the man upstairs do not have your own thing going. I don't care what the song says.
That's right. Amen.
That's just absolutely not the truth. Because this word says that if we're walking in darkness, we do not have fellowship with him. That's what the Bible says. We lie not and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and you cannot have fellowship one with another without walking in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You may be seated. So I want us to just draw our focus in on verse 5. There is no darkness in God. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about darkness. I preached a funeral on Tuesday, and I told those folks that actually the Bible has more to say about hell than it does about heaven.
Amen.
Best I can tell. It's not that it doesn't have things to say about heaven. It does. And it tells us quite a lot about heaven. But there is still that great mystery there. Someone asked me this week, what's our body going to be like before it's resurrected? So there's some great mysteries there. In the book of Proverbs, the 4th chapter and 14th verse, enter not into the path of the wicked. Don't walk the way that the wicked walks. Well, why? Well, in Proverbs 4:19 it says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. When you can't tell the difference between darkness and light, you're in trouble. You see, we've come to a place in our society that even the church is having trouble telling the difference between darkness and light.
Yes, amen.
This is what we go by. It's not some kind of game and we're making up the rules as we go. This is what we go by. This word is what we go by. And the church has never meant to be seeker friendly. They talk about computers that are friendly to whoever's using them. I've never seen one yet. But I hear people talking about the church being seeker-friendly. Listen, I think that we ought to be friendly to everybody that comes through the door. It's not that. But I'm telling you that whenever the world is living in darkness, and they can come and sit in our pews and be comfortable, there is something wrong.
Amen.
The Word of God makes people uncomfortable.
Yes,
it makes me uncomfortable. We can't have a gray area. It's either light or darkness. That's what the Bible teaches. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. And that's the society that you and I are living in. And beloved, you hear me today that a great deal of the church is headed down that same direction. We're more interested in a crowd than we are being obedient to the Word of God. I'm telling you, if you want a crowd, go to Branson. If you want your ears tickled, go to Branson or go to some kind of theater or something. But God said that when we preach the Word of God, it's not to tickle men's ears. It's not to give people that they want. It's to give people that they need.
Yes. Amen.
And it is the Word of God.
Yes.
Woe to us if we call evil good and good evil. Look at Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter. Now just keep your finger in that place and turn back to Luke, the 11th chapter. And look at verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. There's two separate ways of life. And you and I are given that choice of these two separate ways. I'm always amazed that, and I'm not sure it's always been this way, but one of the problems that the church faces today is that we can start our young people in preschool, in Sunday school, bring them up through Sunday school, Awana, the whole gamut of the church, every program. They'd be in the children's program and come to children's camp. They can be in the youth program and go to the youth program steady and faithful. And then when they get to a place that they are making their own decisions and out on their own, they leave the church. I'm not making that up.
Amen.
It's happening. And not only is it happening in the city and in large churches, it's happening right here at Osage.
That's right.
So what's the answer to that? What is the answer to it? Well, it's two ways of life. One is darkness, the other is light. The problem that we face today is that this darkness has crept into the church. We have so many gray areas that we can't tell where the light starts or where the light stops and the darkness starts. Now, here's my big problem. And it's yours too. I don't know if you've discovered it yet or not, but it's your big problem also. Here it is. My flesh gravitates toward darkness. You know, sometimes I am just surprised. But my flesh has this tendency to gravitate toward darkness. Now, I think that there's things in my life, don't look surprised, but I think that there are things in my life that I can do to absolutely help that or stop that. But I think that as long as I'm living in this body, that there is going to be that tendency in my body to gravitate toward darkness. So I have to stand on guard all the time. Well, you know, it'd be nice to not have to be on guard, wouldn't it? But I'm telling you, I have to be on guard. You have to be on guard. You can... Now listen to me today. You can be in your Bible study every day. Read your Bible every day. Have your quiet time. And spend your time with the Lord. And you can turn the TV on. And something will grab your attention. And the first thing you know, you're headed toward darkness. Your mind is headed toward darkness. There is that pull in our lives. And all of us, I think we have a different pull. Look at Luke 22. And look at verse 53. The darkness is not just in the news media. The darkness is not just in the bars and in the red light districts of cities. It's there, but it's not just there. It's among the religious. Look at what he says in verse 23. Who's he talking to here? This is the religious group. This is the soldiers from the temple guard that the priest, the high priest, and those in the temple who were the religious leaders of the day have sent to arrest Jesus. And this is his response to them. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hand against me. But this is your hour. What does he say later? What does he say next? And the power of darkness. And the power of darkness. The darkness has a ruler, according to Ephesians 6 and verse 12. It's called the rulers of darkness of this world. So there is two ways of life that we choose. We can either choose the way of darkness or we can choose the way of light. And even as Christians, we have a tendency to gravitate toward the darkness. So we stand on guard constantly. We stand our guard. We put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore. And he goes through all of the armor that you and I are to have on. a shield of faith, to be girded with truth, have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and we stand against that darkness. Well, my flesh loves this kingdom of darkness. And it's actually devoted to it, so I have to take a stand against it. Look at John 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Now, this is the Gospel of John. Look at John 3. That's a familiar passage to us, isn't it? We know John 3:16. We know a lot of stuff. This is old Nick's chapter, right?
Amen.
This is where the religious leader come to Jesus and ask him how he could go to heaven. You're a master of Israel and you don't know how to go to heaven? You're a teacher yourself and you don't know how to go to heaven? Well, you got to be born again, is what he said. Do you know why Jesus said that you must be born again? Well, I can tell you, it's because you must be born again.
Amen.
Being a member of the church is not going to take you to heaven. Being baptized is not going to take you to heaven.
Right.
Who you marry or whether you're a deacon in the church, that won't take you to heaven. You can be a preacher behind the pulpit, that won't take you to heaven.
Right.
Jesus said you must be born again. There has to be a radical change takes place in your life where you have new birth. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. He's created over again is what that word means. Old things have passed away. And most other things, that's not what it says, is it? Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Okay, look at the 19th verse of the third chapter. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But now that I'm a Christian, now that I'm born again, I've been born into the kingdom of light. Now, I still believe that those things are true, that I gravitate toward the darkness. I wish it was the other way around. I wish it was just natural that I gravitated toward the light.
Amen.
But you know, when something is not anchored, it has a tendency to drift. At my niece's funeral, I heard this song. I'd heard it before, but I thought it was fantastic, My Anchor Holds. And I'd heard one version of that. But one of the verses in that song said, the old ship is battered. The waves and the winds of this life has battered the old ship. But he said the anchor still holds. And it grips a solid rock. And so my anchor is in Jesus Christ. And if my anchor is in Jesus Christ, when my flesh wants to gravitate toward the darkness, there is within me a voice. There is within me a power. There is within me the power of the Holy Spirit that wants to pull me constantly to the light.
Amen.
So I almost have to go against that power if I'm going to gravitate toward the darkness. But he blows the whistle on me. The Holy Spirit says, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have thought that. You shouldn't think that way. You shouldn't be looking in that direction. You have been a jerk, so make it right. That's the Holy Spirit speaking in your heart and in your life that constantly draws you to the light. I have been born again into the kingdom of light. Over in John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, and verse 12, the Bible says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, the light of life. So, Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus to try to put Christians in jail and try to stop Christianity. He tried to squelch it any way that he could. But there had been something going on in his heart and in his life and his inner man that he could not get away from. And as he watched Stephen stoned to death, and as Stephen stood before them, the Bible says that as they looked on him, his face was just like an angel. And he said, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. So there was something working on Paul as he stood there and guarded the coats. And on his way to Damascus, he saw a great light. It was so great that it knocked him to the ground. And it said, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he said, Lord, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. And he gave him instructions about what he was to be about. So he was born again. He was born again. And he got a new job. And in Acts, the 26th chapter, we read about that new job. Let me get to it. Acts 26, and look down at verse 18. Here's his new job. But guess what? It's my job and your job also. When you get born again, you get a new job. God has a plan for your life. And if you're born again, you're to be in on this job. You're to be doing this. I've heard about people that went to work for companies, and there were so many people working for them, they couldn't keep up with what everybody's job was. And one guy said that he'd carried a 2x4 around on his shoulder for several months, and no one ever even questioned what he was supposed to be doing. He didn't know what to do, and so he just did that, just carried that 2x4 around, and they paid him for it. No one knew who he was supposed to be working for, and he didn't. So we just carried that 2x4 around. I think what's happening a lot of times in the church, that we've got folks carrying around 2x4s and they don't know what their job is. I'm getting ready to tell you what it is. Look at verse 18. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's my job. That's your job. It's our job to turn people from darkness to light. Now, folks, it's hard on me to get my focus, get things straightened out. But I'm telling you that the church is to be a hospital for the wounded. And we ought to be taking in the wounded. We ought to be taking in. We ought to be that draws people who are in darkness to the light. When people are in darkness and folks love on them, they like that. They want to come back. There's probably not anyone that's any rougher on his dogs than I am. But I'm telling you, when I drive up, here they come to the door. They want to be petted. They want to be petted. And people are the same way. They want to be loved on. And so our job is to get them out of the darkness and point them toward the light. Turn them from darkness to light. And then finally, we're to cast off the works of darkness. Romans 13. Acts, Romans. Keep up. Romans 13, look at verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. What does that mean? Let me tell you. Time's running out. Time's running out. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Did you see that last little phrase? Do you think that the Lord doesn't know that we might be pulled toward the darkness? Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You want to know how to battle the darkness in your own life? You want to know how to keep from gravitating toward the darkness? Make no provision for the flesh. Cast off the works of darkness. What are the works of darkness? I want to end with this in Romans. The 13th chapter. Romans 13, 12, 13. He gives us a list and he says that we are to cast that off. Let me read some of this. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Wherefore, therefore, resist the power. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God he's the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, that they are God's minister, attending continually upon this very thing, rendering therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's a list for us to follow. Let's stand together. As Brother Matt comes and our musicians come to lead us, the most important decision that you'll ever make in all your life is what you do with Jesus. And whether or not you receive Him as your personal Savior. So if you're here today and not a Christian, I want to give you an invitation to make that decision for Christ today. If you're here today and God's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship, I want to give you that invitation to join this church. If God's dealing with your heart to recommit your life to Him. If you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you've got a decision that you need to make. The Spirit's been dealing with you about that, and you want to come today and make that decision for Christ. If you want to join the church, come to me. If you want to be saved, come to me. And you know I can't save you, but I know a man who can. That's Jesus. So as we sing, we give you an invitation to make a decision for Christ this morning. As we sing, you come.